If I am the salt, if I am the light, God, I want you to use me in a more purposeful, more productive way. And God can do something unbelievable through you if you say, God, I'm available to you.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of this message that aired last week, Pastor Brian Grant took us back to Matthew chapter 5 and the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus described the qualifying characteristics of followers that would carry out his mission in this world. They would be salt and they would be light. This evening, we will hear the conclusion of that message as Pastor Grant uses scripture to show what being salt and light means in the life of the individual believer, prerequisites that Christ set out for his followers in making a difference in this unholy and darkened world. Once again, we urge you to have your Bibles handy as Pastor Grant concludes his message entitled, Recovering Our Mission for Christ. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant.
A huge revival broke out in New York City, and it started with one man. The country was in trouble, the church was in trouble, the church was in disarray, and one man sitting in the pew, not a minister, a man by the name of Jeremy Lamphere, he decided to start a prayer meeting. And this little prayer meeting in New York City, after a few months, 10,000 people were gathering every single day in New York in one meeting place to pray. And it spread across the country. It went to Chicago. Thousands were praying in Chicago. All across America, something broke out. Some people call it the Great Prayer Revival. Others call it the Third Great Awakening. Whatever you want to call it, the impact of it is still being felt today. One man decided, God, I am willing for you to use me. And that's what God is calling somebody here. You know, not everybody might respond this morning. It could be that God is going to speak to you. You might be the only one who is taking this message seriously and saying, God, if I am the salt, if I am the light, God, I want you to use me in a more purposeful, more productive way. And God can do something unbelievable through you if you say, God, I'm available to you. So let's talk about the recovery of the mission. And there are three essentials if we're going to recover the mission. Number one, and if you notice each one, I say we must, because these are essentials. Number one, we must live a consecrated life. Notice what verse 13 says. Verse 13 says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Now, I want you to realize it is chemically impossible for salt to lose its flavor. You said that, how did Jesus say if the salt loses its savor? Because you see, in the ancient world, impurities were usually mixed in with the salt. And what would happen is that sometimes the impurities would degrade. They would break down. And because the impurities would break down, it would cause the flavor of the salt to change. Are you getting it? Salt losing its flavor was not because the salt itself lost its flavor. The salt lost its flavor because of all the stuff that was mixed in. And I'm here to tell you that if you are going to have all sort of stuff mixed in, you are going to lose your savor. You are going to lose your impact. I am going to lose my impact if there is too much stuff. If there is sin in our lives, it's trouble. What is consecration? Consecration is separation from things that are unclean, that would contaminate our relationship with God. Did you get that? Consecration is getting rid of the sin in my life. And so in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Here's what the writer says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. And we're going to put it on the screen. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let me pause there just to give you the context. Hebrews 11, some of you remember, is the great chapter of faith, where the writer describes for us all these men and women of faith. And now in chapter 12, he starts off, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses. Hey, brothers and sisters at GCA, there's a huge crowd of witnesses. There's a whole lot of people that have gone ahead who are saying, listen, Jesus works. The blood still works. You can live a life of faith. You can be a transformer. He says, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, he says, let us strip off what? Every weight. Every weight that slows us down, especially the what? The sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you want to be, and I know some of you are going to just turn this message off and say, I prefer to stay the way I am. But if God is speaking to you and you're saying to God this morning, God, I want to be one of those who will really be salt and light, I am here to tell you, you must live a consecrated life. And if you're going to do that, you're going to have to get rid of sin. You're going to have to strip it off. Hebrews 12 says, strip it off. A few years ago, Cheryl and I visited Juneau, Alaska. And the week before we arrived, a bear had come into town and attacked a number of people and had killed one. And do you know what they did? They organized a hunting party. And they went up into the woods and they kept hunting until they could find the bear. Do you know what they did? Did you think they gave him a tranquilizer? They killed him. You said, Pastor, how would they do it in such an age of animal rights? Well, they had to kill him because they discovered that once a bear has tasted human blood, he cannot be controlled. Did you hear what I said? He cannot be controlled. He would be back the next week for more. He would keep coming back. And that's what sin does. You try and control it. You cannot control it. You cannot box it in. You cannot control it. So you're here and say, I'm going to sin less. When I go over to her house, we'll try and keep ourselves in this way or that way. Listen to me good. If you really want to be salt and light, kill it. Romans chapter 8, it says, put to death the deeds of the flesh. Did you hear the word? Put to death. Put to death the deeds of the flesh. Put it to death. Don't try and control it. Because if you try and control it, it's going to just overpower you. And this is why the apostle says, the sin that will trip you up, it will trip you up. Number one, we must live a consecrated life. Number two, we must live a separated life. We must live a separated life. Verse number 4, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Did you see that? We are the city on a hill, and the city on a hill stands out. Did you hear what I'm saying? A city on a hill, what? It stands out. God has designed the church to be distinct from the world. He uses words like peculiar and transformed. Should not give us an idea what he's talking about. We're supposed to be different. We are different. God has changed us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 tells us, if any man is in Christ, they are what? New creatures. We are different. We are children of the King. So let's start living. Let's start walking like heaven's royalty. Amen. But do you know, it does matter how we live after we're saved. It's not just about a ticket to heaven. Wake up just for a minute. Let me just point this out to you. Because, you know, sometimes we get saved and we're so glad I got my ticket. I got my ticket to heaven. I can live any way I want. Not really. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, but on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. Let me stop right there. Are you realizing what is being said here? Young person, God is saying, after you got saved, you got to build. God has laid a foundation. There is a foundation of faith, and some building has to be done. What God is saying here, what type of building are you doing? He says, the fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer what? And it's not talking about losing your salvation, because what does it go on to say? The builder will be what? You won't lose your salvation. But what? But like what? Read it for me. But like what? Someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. Can you see the picture? You can see the picture. There is this wall of fire. In fact, you can almost see some of the shows on TV, and the fire is coming and they're running. You do you realize that's how some people make it into heaven? It's almost like hell is rushing and they're running, and they just barely made it over. I want to make it barely into heaven. How about you? I want to make an abundant entrance. That's how one apostle describes it. Is that what you want? To make an abundant entrance into God's presence? Well, listen, if you want to make that abundant entrance, you must live a separated life. We are the city on a hill. And a city on a hill stands out. And we need to dare to be different. Stop trying to be like your friends. Stop trying to be like everybody else and say, God, I want to stand for you. I am willing. The Bible says that Daniel would not defile himself with the king's meats. He wouldn't fit in. May God help us that we won't try to fit in. But third, we must live a spirit-controlled life. Verse 15 says, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. No one puts their light under a basket. When I came to your house, I noticed that you did not put it under the basket. But because of fear, many Christians have done exactly that. Am I right about that? Try and get the picture in the physical. You do not light a lamp and cover it up. But God is saying, who is the light? We are the light. But guess what we do with the light? We cover it up. We are doing something crazy. Nobody takes a light and cover it up. And God is saying, but that's exactly what you're doing. You are covering up the light because of fear. Dr. Martin Luther King said, history will record that the greatest tragedy of our age was not the strident clamor of the bad people, but the appalling silence of the good people. The great tragedy, if I may comment on what he said, the great tragedy of our age is the appalling silence of Christians. Silent because of fear. But if we were under the control of the Holy Spirit, it would be a game changer. I just want you to know that. My brothers and sisters, Right now you might be cowering in fear and you've covered up that light. I want you to know it's not just a matter of muscling up and deciding to do something better. The answer, the secret is allowing the Spirit of God to control your life. You see in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, as Jesus was about to ascend into heaven, he told his disciples, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the rest of the world." What did he say they would receive? Power. The issue is not whether we have power. Listen, believer, if you're a Christian, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've received him into your heart, the Spirit of God lives in you. You have all the power you will ever need.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Do you really believe that? You see, the Holy Spirit is a person. If you receive the Holy Spirit, since he's a person, if you receive him, you receive what? All of him. I want that to sink in. The minute the Spirit of God came to live in you, all the power of the Holy Spirit is resident in you. The question is, who is in control of the switch? You remember I told you this story about this lady in Northern Ireland? There was a lady there just when electricity had arrived in Northern Ireland. She was a wealthy lady, but she was a penny pincher. She was tight-fisted. So everybody was surprised that this tight-fisted lady was one of the first persons in Northern Ireland to get electricity. After 3 months, the meter reader came to visit her. And when the man read the meter, he noticed that there was almost no usage recorded. He went to the lady and he said to her, "Is your electricity working?" She says, "Yes, my electricity is working fine." She says, "Every night I turn it on just long enough to light the candles. And then I turn it off." All the power she needed was in the house. The problem was she had her hands on the switch. All the power you and I will ever need to live a victorious Christian life is resident in our body. The Spirit of God is resident there. All the power. The problem is, I have got my hand on the switch. What God wants is for us this morning to make a decision to yield control of the switch, to yield control of our lives to the Spirit of God. You see, the Spirit of God is a resident, but we have not allowed him to be president. I told my Tuesday night class, I said, you know what? It's like somebody comes to visit your home. And when you have a visitor in your home, what do you tell them? Make yourself at home. Do you really mean it? Can I be honest? Most of us who say that, we better find another expression, because that's a lie. You know how I know it's a lie? So Lauren, as you know, is my daughter. And if Lauren were at home, she is at home. And so when Lauren comes, she might come into the bedroom and she opens a drawer. She goes in the kitchen, she takes stuff out. She moves all over the place and takes stuff out. But as much as I love you, dear sister, if you come and I see you in my bedroom, I'm like, what in the world is she doing in my bedroom? I mean, so just so you know, if you come visit Brother Brian, there are some boundaries. It's okay to go in the fridge. It's okay to open the cabinets and get yourself a glass, but don't go too far. Amen. And that's what we do to the Holy Spirit. We say, please be at home in my life. Please, come on, make yourself at home, Lord Jesus. Spirit, be in control here. No, we don't say control, we say at home. But we say, Holy Spirit, I really want you to sit quietly in that corner. Holy Spirit, don't go roving around now. Don't check out what I did last night. Holy Spirit, in fact, I wouldn't mind if it were possible that you would just stay outside where I'm about to go. Am I making any sense? What God wants, you see, what the Spirit of God wants, He wants to be in control. He wants to be the president. He doesn't just want to reside in you. He wants to control you. He wants to be the one who turns on the switch. This morning, as I am almost about to bring this message to a close, what the Spirit of God wants, He wants you and I to make a new level of commitment. He wants us to open up and say, God, control. And I'm wondering, perhaps there's somebody here this morning. You are here, you are a Christian, and you realize you are not being good salt. You are not being good light. You are willing to admit it, and you're willing to say to God, God, I am making myself available to you because I want to fulfill my mission. God, I don't care about the others, but God, I want to fulfill my mission. In a moment, I'm going to give you an invitation and I'm going to give you an opportunity to say, God, yes, I'm willing to do it. But you know, I believe there's somebody else here this morning. You're not even saved. You're not sure you're saved. You're not sure that if you died, you would go to heaven. And you say, Brother Brian, how can I be sure? John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12 says, but as many as received him, listen to me, young lady. Young man, older person, listen good. This is Jesus. As the Apostle John records, but as many as received him, him is Jesus. John says, as many as received Jesus Christ, to them he gives the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. I hope you see the formula. Believe. I run into people sometimes and say, I believe in Jesus. I believe. You must believe. But some of you haven't taken the second step. You have not received. You have not received him. You have not said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Cleanse me. I receive you as my Savior. Believe plus receive equals become. As many as received him, to them he gives the right to become a child of God, even to them who believe on his name. If you will believe and receive, you will become a child of God this very morning. And we pray that you'll do that right now. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.